So in 1939, you're 18 years old when you graduate from high school.
Yeah.
You're hearing in the news about Germany, about Hitler.
Yeah.
And what are you hearing at that time?
At the time, you know, Hitler had taken over Czechoslovakia. He was threatening the Poles. So you knew there was going to be a war. Then September 1st, he marched into Poland.
Which was the beginning then of World War II.
Yeah. Which really didn't surprise anybody in Germany. Then I decided if there's going to be a war, we're going to get into it eventually. So I decided to join the National Guard.
Was it in 38 that your parents finally came over here?
Yeah.
Where did they settle?
In Tulsa.
So you're still in Enid.
Yeah.
And they came here because your father's brother was here.
Yeah.
And they lived here.
Yeah.
You didn't come here to live with them?
Actually, I had intended to go to A&M or OSU. Then I had a death in the family in Enid. Their son had died, and that delayed that. So I stayed in Enid with my aunt and uncle. At the same time, I joined the National Guard, and we had our first camp in November at Fort Sill, which was quite an education.
You knew that quite possibly the United States was going to be drawn into war. But this, as you indicated earlier, was your opportunity to get back at Hitler.
Yeah. That's the only reason I joined.
So you're in the winter at Fort Sill.
Yeah. This was a winter camp. Intense.
Did you ever wonder, why did I do this? Because you didn't have to at that time.
No, but I was determined. I had a pretty interesting experience. That's the first time I passed out.
What happened?
Well, some of the big boys were going into Lawton. They invited me to go along. They were drinking pretty heavy, and of course I wasn't used to that stuff. And the next thing I know, it's 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm on my cart in this tent. You're on KP. That was a liberal education. I could write a book about that.
But you were sicker than a dog.
Yeah, but that didn't matter. These were old World War I kitchens at Fort Sill. They're still standing there, using as classrooms. I taught in them as a gunnery instructor. Anyway, we had these big pots. There was very little hot water, and you had to clean them after every meal. And then in the evening, the drainage in those kitchens was bad, so you had to get on your knees with a big GI brush and scrub the floor. And after that, you got the proverbial sack of potatoes to peel. So anyway, I made every effort to become a corporal. Mind you, this was World War I equipment and uniforms and training. I mean, it was medieval. This was one of my big beefs, and every time I had somebody that has some influence, I'm telling them what sad shape we were in. Then I worked in the store, my uncle's store in Enid, and the National Guard was mobilized September 16, 40.
How long was your basic training?
We were the 45th Division, an organized unit. So we had training all along. We were mobilized, we went back to Sill. We took a regular basic training course from scratch that lasted about 12, 13 weeks. And mind you, most of us were schoolboys, guys I'd gone to high school with. We had a few that were a little older. Then in February, I think, of 41, we got our first draftees, who were about 10 years older than we were. And we gave them basic training. When we were mobilized, we were about 30, 40 men short in our firing battery. We were an artillery unit. We pulled up a gun to the square in Enid with a table, and we pulled the guys that we knew and signed them up. We didn't even have new uniforms for them. We put them in World War I show color uniforms. We didn't have boots for them for months. We had the light artillery, had French 75s, which you laid entirely different from the modern methods. And we were a 155 medium artillery unit. The American Army had 168,000 men when we were mobilized, and I think only 58 were in organized units. The others were scattered all over. In September, they mobilized four National Guard divisions. September 1640.
In 40.
So that was the first time you had an increase in the size of the army. But we were National Guard divisions. We were not as well trained. But the 41st, I mean, we did quite well. So let's see, we would train draftees. And after each training course, we would send out the cadres to form new divisions. That took some of our older men that we had. We took officers and took non-coms. After a few months, we were down to one officer per firing battery instead of four. I was a sergeant by the time of Pearl Harbor. I had just turned 20. And when you had three stripes, you usually filled an officer's position. I was reconnaissance officer for a firing battery. And I had to train the men in surveying the guns and what fire direction. And as I say, I'd just been less than a year and a half. Of course, I always wanted to go to OCS. I wanted to be an officer. And I had to wait till I had my citizenship. I went to OCS in November 42. By that time, I had five stripes, and I was up for master sergeant as battalion fire direction chief.
Wow.
And I was 21 years old. I mean, that's the shape the Army was in.
But you were showing leadership capabilities.
Well, yeah, because you either did it or you didn't do it. But I'm trying to point out the sad shape the Army was.
Right. And you were much younger than a lot of these men that you were leading.
When I went to OCS, I knew more than the gunnery instructor.